We all know that life is unpredictable, but let's be honest. Right now, life is simply crazy. Very few people alive today have ever lived through a pandemic, and some of us are having to make decisions that we never dreamed we would have to make. With that being said, there are many things that can be done to mitigate the damages and prepare for what's yet to come, and ways to adjust to this new reality that we find ourselves in as DIY landlords and property managers. In this podcast, we'll discuss the five key things that you can do to continue business as usual, or at least as close as possible to it, as well as some ideas around what to do next to prepare for the unknown future that may be waiting around the corner. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. It's no secret that right now we're going through some pretty interesting times, some times of which most people alive today have never been through. And of course, I'm referring to the situation with the pandemic, with the COVID-19 virus and the shelter at home orders and people being quarantined and businesses having to be closed down for extended periods of time and so on and so forth. You've heard it. It's in the news. It's nothing new. So I won't be adding to that. But the point of this podcast is to really specifically address the DIY landlords and the small landlords and property managers out there that really have never had to encounter anything like this before, and to kind of try to provide you with pieces of information that are coming from creative property managers and landlords across the country that I've spoken with, and also from directly just talking with people who are involved in the real estate industry and things that they're doing to kind of mitigate the damages that they are seeing, as well as to kind of address the unknowns that may be coming down the road that people haven't seen yet. And that's actually one of the biggest concerns, is what hasn't happened yet and what might be coming down the road that nobody's really paying attention to just yet. Everybody's concerned about April, which we're now in that month, and reports have come out that rents are approximately 18%. Delinquencies are at 18% nationwide, which is significantly higher than the average delinquency at this time of the month in prior years. And so, but what people are not really paying attention to just yet is the month of May, which could increase that percentage dramatically. And so there's a few things that we want to touch base on here, and we've kind of rounded them up to five core things that we think that DIY landlords should really be paying attention to. So to get started, as always, we try to keep these podcasts under 15 minutes so that you're not spending too much time with us here and can get back to your daily routines and focus on running your business. So number one is shift your focus from increasing rents and maximizing revenue to retaining existing tenants instead. Now this one may seem like common sense, but there's still a lot of people out there that are still talking about, should I increase my rents? And how do I squeeze every dollar out of my rental, and so on and so forth, and really not understanding that at this point in time, it's probably best to really shift that focus to how do I retain existing tenants, and that doesn't necessarily revolve around increasing rents and increasing your overall revenue for the property by adding on additional rentals, side rentals like garages and pet rent, and so on and so forth. In fact, it's the opposite. You want to work with existing tenants, for instance, on payment plans. A lot of people right now are experiencing reduced hours, or they've lost their jobs completely. They're waiting for their unemployment checks to come through. They're waiting on the stipend payment to come through from the government that for the bill that was just passed. And so really there's this kind of limbo period where money is just kind of hanging out there, that it's coming, but it's not in people's pockets or bank accounts yet. And so it's important to understand and recognize that just because somebody isn't paying or hasn't been communicating with you doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to do that in the near future. And they may not be able to pay the full amount. And so it's important that you reach out to them and be proactive and try to address that issue head on and be very clear and succinct in your message to the tenants that you are interested in helping them and that you would like to do whatever necessary on your end to alleviate that pressure from them so that they don't feel like, well, okay, when I get the stimulus payment and when I get my unemployment, I'm just going to have to leave this place because I can't continue to afford it. And I'm really just kicking the can down the road. So I just keep all this money to myself and leave and break the lease. And that really doesn't do anybody any good. And so what you want to do is be really proactive about it. Reach out to existing tenants. Be very clear and succinct in your message about what it is you're offering and what you're able to do. And so whether that's breaking up payments or deferring rent, waiving an entire month of rent or deferring it to the end of the lease and extending their lease by 1 month or just offering a straight discount across the board, 10%, 15, 20, whatever it is for the remainder of the lease or whatever it is, a lot of people are getting very creative and everybody's situation is different based on what your bills are and what you can afford to do on your end. But I would say that drastic times call for drastic measures. One of my concerns, and this is just my personal opinion that I've seen, is people just automatically waiving April's rent. And that's great if you can do that with the expectation that you may have to do the same thing for May. But if you can only do it 1 month and you did it for April and you kind of put all your cards on the table, what are you going to do in May when that the situation really hasn't changed yet? And so it's important to make sure that you pay attention to not only your tenants, but also to your own personal situation, what you can and can't afford, and try to make ends meet where you can and try to compromise where you can. And instead of focusing on renewals and increasing rents and maximizing revenue, now is probably the time to switch your focus to retaining existing tenants. And I've seen a lot of landlords and had a lot of discussions where that has been the case, and a lot of people are seeing a lot of success with that. And so that's why we're bringing it up here, is that a lot of people have had success with doing that across the board, across multiple states. So again, a couple of ideas are work with existing tenants on payment plans, whether that's taking the month of April or May and breaking it up into small payments over the remainder of the lease, whether it's just waiving the entire month or whether it's deferring that month to the end of the lease, kind of like with a car note or something where you defer a payment to the end of the loan term, you can do that as well. Again, these are all dependent also on your state and your local jurisdiction and whether or not there's any laws about this type of stuff. But a lot of cities and counties and even states are implementing their own rules about this. So some of this you don't even have a choice of. Some of this is just, it's already been dictated by the authorities in your area. So you do want to stay up to date with that, and you can check that out on the nationallandlordassociation.org. There's a full breakdown on there of each state and links to all of the states and what those laws are. Again, that's nationallandlordassociation.org if you want to check that out. It is a great resource. It's kind of consolidated all of the different states and the variances in what's been passed and as far as what's applicable to landlords, both DIY landlords, small landlords, and property management companies alike. The next thing, number two, is focus on getting your vacancy down immediately by aggressively promoting and incentivizing people to lease your vacant units. So this is for landlords out there that have vacancies. It is of the utmost importance that you get those units rented ASAP. And so a lot of people are offering very aggressive promotions to incentivize people. And so whether that's half off your first month's rent or it's a 32-inch TV for your first month's rent, if it's paid up front or if you pay 2 months of rent up front, you can get really creative. And when you're in a time like this where there's economic uncertainty, there's a lot of things you can do to kind of mitigate potential losses down the road. And so doing things like that, where if you pay 2 months rent up front or 3 months rent up front and you get 1 month off or half off the fourth month or third month or whatever that promotion is, I would highly recommend that you look into and get really creative with doing stuff like that to incentivize people to rent your property and get it occupied. Because the sooner you have that cash flow coming into the property, the sooner you're able to pay your bills and get ahead of the curve of what may be coming down the pipeline. And so one of the things you want to do, though, or actually a couple of things you want to do in the process of doing that, is because of the restrictions in place, you're like, well, how can I lease my place out? Because people aren't supposed to be touring, this whole 6 feet thing, social distancing, yada, yada, yada. So it's really cool, though, because the day and age in which we live has allowed us to do things like remote tours and even remote move-ins and move-outs. And so you can actually do record a walkthrough of your rental. And with my rentals, I've actually done this for properties I've managed over the years. I've actually done it before any of this COVID stuff came around, where I would just, people would be leasing from out of state. And so they'd want to see the rental. They're going to be leasing sight unseen, but they don't want to just go based off of pictures. They want an actual video. So if you haven't already paid for a professional video to be done of your rental property, then you can still do it with a camera phone or whatever. A lot of camera phones, especially the Apple iPhones and a lot of the Samsungs, LGs, all the phones that have pretty much come out in the past 5 years have great recording capabilities. They often all record in 1080p, some of them even in 4K. And so you can really do a decent walkthrough of your rental and then post the link in your rental listing as a virtual tour link for people to be able to check out. And you can actually put that in your listings, especially if you use Tenant Cloud, the listing portal in your Tenant Cloud account. You can actually put that link right in there so that when your listing does go live on all the listing sites, people can actually just click that tour link and they can actually just watch the video without you ever having to send them anything or do anything. Now, of course, you can also tour through a bunch of apps out there like Zoom or Facebook Live or whatever if you want to do live tours. If you have access like that to your rental and you just want to tour whenever you have people interested in the property, you can, of course, do that as well. But the quick and easy way to do it is really to record it and then host it somewhere, whether it's YouTube or wherever else, and then just post the link to that video as a virtual tour link on your listings for people to go check out. And so I highly recommend that. A few things is make sure that all of your images and your video are professional HD images, of course. If you're uploading images to your listing, you want to make sure that, as always, the first image is always the best one because that's the first impression when somebody's looking at your listing online. And that one photo could get somebody to click and view your listing as opposed to just continue scrolling right past it through a list of listings if your photo doesn't really pull them in. So make sure you put a lot of emphasis on that first image that people see on your listing, and that'll ensure that you get more clicks onto it. The other thing you want to do is install code-based locks or lockboxes for tours and or move-ins. For move-ins, you can simply provide the new move-in with the code once they've paid the first month's rent or whatever your requirements are, and you can have them sign the lease electronically. You really don't ever have to actually meet somebody in person in order to lease to them or even to move them in. Now, of course, the whole human interaction thing with leasing is pretty standard, but in this day and age, as always, drastic times call for drastic measures. So I actually used to do this all the time. I would have agents, typically real estate agents, apartment locators. I would put code-based locks on all of my vacant units' doors, and or I would just put it on one model. And so if I had two units that were the same, like a duplex, for instance, and both units were identical, I would put a combo lockbox on one of them and make that my model or the unit that people tour. And you could just have them take their clients and go tour. You can also do that if you have one that you can change the code on the lock pretty easily, either remotely or otherwise. And you can actually just have people go and tour on their own. That's become pretty common. Now, again, that depends on the area that you're in. Some areas, people, higher risk areas, people aren't comfortable with just giving a code to somebody to go tour, do a self tour. But if you are in an area where that's something that you feel comfortable doing, you can do that. You can install a code-based lock and you could just provide the code to the person who wants to do a self tour. And if they like it, they can also apply online. They can e-sign their lease online. They can pay their first month's rent, their security deposit, their app fee. Everything can be done online, especially if you're on the Tenant Cloud platform, of course, this being a Tenant Cloud podcast. But you can do all of it remotely. It's all very simple and it's a very seamless experience. And so all the pieces of the puzzle are there. You just have to make sure that they're all in place at your specific rental to be able to do that. And once you do it, it's a very natural process and you kind of get used to how to explain it and you come up with processes and a simple email that details to somebody what the next step is. And you kind of work those kinks out as you go through it. But it's a very simple process. I've done it many, many, many times, and leased many rentals, pretty much not even seeing the people. So you can also accept applications, like I said, online, and people can do it, especially if they're on the Tenant Cloud platform for your rental. You can actually have people just do it through our mobile app. It's very simple. You send them a link to their email and they click it and they apply, and they can use our mobile app. They can use our mobile friendly website. It's very simple. So again, everything's very simple to do from the time that they contact you, from finding their listing on a listing site, all the way through the time that they move in. And when they move in, you can do the same thing. You can give them a code to open the door and everything's already ready for the rental. As long as they've met their requirements or obligations as part of the lease, they can just move into the rental. You just give them the code to the combo lockbox or whatever type of lock it is. Or you could just install a number pad or keypad lock and provide them with the code to it and instructions for them to change it, or you can change it, whatever. So the options are there. That's the bottom line. And it helps you to reduce your risk of exposure as well as theirs. And it just makes everybody comfortable with the process, especially when we're dealing with something like a pandemic. So realtors are considered essential businesses. And so you can actually reach out to your local realtors. And if you haven't worked with apartment locators previously, they are in most states, at least the state of Texas, they are all required to be licensed real estate agents in the state of Texas. And they're basically realtors who also do apartment locating, or maybe they just do apartment locating. And they basically, the way that they earn an income is you pay them a commission for when they bring a client to your rental property and that client ends up leasing. And so it could be anywhere from 10% all the way up to 200% of your monthly rent. It just depends on how aggressive you want to get in renting out your rental. And so essentially what you do is you send out a flyer or just a simple email saying, hey, I have a rental available at this property. I'm paying 50% commission for 12-month leases or longer. And here are the requirements for the tenant. They need to be qualified for A, B, and C. Basically your rental criteria, you send it to the agent. And then as they have people contacting them looking for rentals in your market, they automatically think of your property because you've gotten your rental in front of them. And so then they bring your potential renter to the property. And right there, the rental, the realtor does the work for you. They close the person on the deal. They provide them with the link to apply to the rental. They may even help walk them through the application. And then from there, the relationship is transferred over to the landlord. And the landlord takes it from there, where they do the screening and they do the approval and they do the move in, the lease, the whole nine yards. And at the end of the day, 30 days later, after the tenant has moved in and paid the first month's rent, yada, 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 the landlord then pays the real estate agent their invoice, which is the 50% of the first month's rent. And that's how it works. So if you've never done that before, I would highly recommend, regardless of whether we're in a pandemic or not, that you look into forming those relationships with realtors in your area. They are a vital resource to landlords, especially in times like this, or if you are struggling to get your rentals leased. It is a huge benefit to work with realtors because they're already dealing with the people who are looking for places to live. And so they also have people that transition out of houses when they're selling and they need places to rent before they find their new house. I mean, they're just in contact with the people that you're wanting to get into your rental. So start building an email list of real estate agents and apartment locators in your region, and maybe occasionally send them office supplies or cookies to their office or whatever with your property brand or your flyer on it, just to keep yourself in front of them so that when they think of a client looking for a place, they remember you. Also, make sure that in this process, you're putting out, we're still talking about leasing your rentals as quickly as possible if you have vacancies, because you want to get your cash flow going, you want to incentivize people to rent your unit, and you want to get people in that are qualified now. And so the other thing you want to do is to put cheap bandit signs out with your contact info, your website, big words that say for rent or immediate move-in available, that type of thing. Simple things like that. Make sure that you've addressed your curb appeal. Make sure the lawn is mowed, trimmed up, touch up paint on the outside, all that good stuff. First impressions are always the lasting impression. And so if people drive up to your rental and it doesn't look right, they're going to drive away, or it's just going to be a bad first impression. And if there's anything else wrong inside the rental, then that first impression that they saw is going to affect that second impression. And that's, it's just going to be a done deal. They're going to walk away. So make sure you've ordered any sanitization materials ahead of time and mark it that your units are regularly sanitized. This is specifically for right now. We're in a pandemic, so you want to assure people that you are regularly sanitizing your rental, whether you're buying them or making your own, whatever it is. You just want to make sure that you are trying to keep your place as clean as possible, especially given the times that we are in right now. You can also order all of your supplies from companies like Quill or HD Supply or Amazon Business or any other delivery service so that you can have those products on hand at any given time. And it reduces the amount of time that your team needs to be going, or you yourself, if you're doing a lot of the work, it reduces the amount of time and exposure of you going to the store and having to get make ready materials or cleaning supplies or touch up paint or whatever it may be. So wherever you can, try to order from commercial suppliers. A lot of them are still operating. They're all considered essential businesses for the most part. And it just makes it easier on you if you just, you're ordering that stuff and keeping it on hand whenever possible. The other thing you want to do is, especially if you do have a make ready going on and you have third party vendors or whatever need access to it, instead of having to provide them with physical keys or meet them to give them access to the rental, again, this comes back to putting a lockbox on the rental unit and just provide them with the codes so that they can just go in whether or not you're there. And again, this is just all about reducing exposure and not having to meet people and handing physical items back and forth with each other and maintaining that whole social distance thing. Again, a lot of these things I've done over the years, even before any of the virus stuff. And once you start doing it, it all comes naturally. It's second nature once you've started doing it. And before you even know it, you're just telling people when you call them, you could just go to the rental and do the touch-up paint. The code is yada, 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 done. And I've even done it in some pretty questionable areas, rentals in questionable areas. So, but again, it's based on where you're at and what your rental is and what you're comfortable with doing and what your local laws and ordinances say as well. So just keep all that in mind. Number three, moving on real quick here, the last few are going to be pretty quick, is provide new move-ins with difficult to find items such as toilet paper and hand sanitizer, as well as soap, things of that nature. And remind your tenants not to be flushing quote unquote flushable wipes down the toilet. You've probably seen all the articles coming out where municipalities and utilities are telling people stop flushing these down the toilet because they're not actually flushable. How they're able to be marketed as flushable wipes is beyond me, but that's a whole nother topic. But just make sure that you're reminding your tenants not to be flushing these things down your toilet because they can damage your drainage systems, based on what a lot of these experts are saying as far as drainage pipes go. So you want to make sure that, especially right now where there's a toilet paper shortage and whatnot, that tenants aren't flushing things down the toilet that are not toilet paper and causing damage to your rental. In fact, you probably want to do that even with your existing tenants right now to avoid some potential headaches in the near future. Number four is prioritize maintenance requests and only handle emergencies. Non-emergency requests can be deferred. Of course, make sure you're following your local laws that are applicable to your region, but if you can, a lot of property management companies and landlords are doing this. They're seeing great success with it. Tenants understand it for the most part. There's very little resistance to this. And basically all you're doing is you're only sending your maintenance guys, or you're only going out to your rental property, or you're only hiring a contractor if it is a maintenance emergency. If it's, can you replace a light bulb? That's not an emergency in most cases. They can replace a light bulb 9 times out of 10. It's not that big of a deal. Now, if the toilet is backing up and it's the only toilet in the rental, 9 times out of 10, in fact, maybe even 10 times out of 10, that is an emergency according to your lease in most cases and in most regions. So obviously you have to address that. But a light bulb, not such a big deal. Number five, close the lobby if you have a leasing office. If you have a leasing office, it's a good idea to just shut the office down and manage it remotely. And you can do that if you use a software platform like Tenant Cloud, because everything's in the cloud and you can do it from no matter where you are at in the world, as long as you have an internet connection. And as we've already discussed, you can do the entire process from A to Z online without ever actually seeing the tenant. Is that ideal? Maybe not, but right now it's helpful to be able to do that. And so working remotely and not having to deal with anybody and see anybody and interact with anybody in person is a big deal right now. And so if you have a lobby, definitely, in fact, your region may have already dictated that you have to shut it down. But if you haven't, I would personally close my leasing office and just do everything online whenever, wherever possible. If you have to be there, a lot of offices in the United States, I have seen where they're shutting down their office, but they're putting a table outside in the open air and they have a social distancing set up using either tape or ropes or whatever, indicating where people can stand, how far to stay away from them, wearing masks with filters, the whole nine yards, even if it's homemade face masks, that type of thing, having a bottle of hand sanitizer right there or whatever, and just taking as many precautions as possible where you still have a physical presence, but you're not in a contained space inside an office where people are touching surfaces or the air is not circulating as well as outside, and so on and so forth. So just consider closing the lobby if you have to be there physically, and just do a temporary setup outside during the day whenever possible. As always, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this Tenant Cloud podcast. We hope that you have found value in the time that you've spent listening to it. And if so, feel free to share this episode with any friends, colleagues, or family members who you believe may benefit from the information that we have discussed. The links that I have discussed in this podcast will be posted on the podcast itself. So the nationallandlordassociation.org will be in there. And you can also read our blogs at tenantcloud.com/blog, as well as listen to this podcast and rate us on the podcast on any platform such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the Tenant Cloud YouTube channel, where you'll also find full system demos, webinars, and other media content from Tenant Cloud. Thank you again for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time. 1, 2, 3.